from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Chris Henry joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's Crowbar from the band Waxahachie, their 2024 album Tiger Blood, record I've been listening to a little bit lately. I had no other inspiration this morning.
That works for me. So, all right, your piece on the Summer League wrap-up is up. I've tweeted it out. People can read that there. Most of those things we have talked about as we have gone along, so I won't revisit much of that. In terms of the Grizzlies' summer writ large, what do you think?
Well, I'll have a big piece on that at some point. I'm sort of reluctant to spoil things I haven't written, but I guess it doesn't matter. I think, you know, the interesting thing is that they came in under the tax, which they're likely to. My expectation is they will come in under the tax. And I didn't think they were going to be able to have a satisfactory summer and do that a couple months ago. It just seemed like it was going to have to, you know, to do what you needed to do was going to put you in a certain place salary-wise. And I think, you know, two things happened. One, they were able to address their center position with the number 9 pick and that number 9 pick salary in a way that I think, you know, that has upside. And then they were able to get Kennard. I think they're going to be able to get Kennard on a deal that's going to be much lower than I think not only his team option, but that they anticipated. And so I thought it was important for them to fill that center spot in a way that had upside. Not to say, here's our new starting center, Andre Drummond, but to have someone who had a higher ceiling than that in that spot, whether that was Donovan Clingan or Zach Edey or Jalen Duren or Jared Allen. If you go back to the story I wrote back early in the summer about like 20 center targets, I thought it was important to get someone on the top half of that list, not in the bottom half. And then I thought it was important to either bring back Luke Kennard or replace him with someone else who was a veteran, proven rotation player. Not to say, here's Jalen Wells, our new 10th man. And so, to me, they checked both of those boxes. And the fact that they checked both of those boxes and they're still going to come in under the tax, like, you know, good work if you can do it.
Well, the good news is that my other question I was going to ask you was to take me through the financial situation a little bit now. So we were going to get here anyway, even if I hadn't spoiled it with the first question. So, in terms of the tax stuff, how much money, again, and by the way, Diakite, the guy that they got back in the Zaire Williams deal, do you presume he's not going to be on the team? What's going to happen with him on the roster?
His fully guaranteed date is like mid-January. So his contract is guaranteed for like $1.4 million, I think. and the full guarantee is like $1 million more than that, and that's in mid-January. I don't think there's any way he gets to the full guarantee date. I don't see any. I would be surprised if he made it. If he made it to opening day on the roster, I just don't. You know, I mean, the money is a sunk cost. So you know, and on that level, maybe right. You do because you're paying it either way. But I don't see him as someone who's really going to help the team or is really in their plans. So I don't see a lot of point in having him on the roster unless it's just, I guess if they're not going to replace him with anyone else in their roster spot, which I don't think they will, then, you know, the money's paid for until January or whatever. So I guess there's no harm in keeping him on the roster. But I don't think he's in their plans.
Right. You don't think, there's very little chance you think they let him go and then find another big or something to use that roster spot to add another player. You think that's unlikely?
It seems unlikely to me.
Okay. So given that, how much money is there to offer Luke Kennard and remain under the tax?
The precise numbers are somewhat uncertain. I think there's roughly $10 million, but I don't think it's going to get that high. Like, I don't think they're going to go up right to the line. You know, I think they could maybe go up to 10, but I don't think it's going to be 10.
Right.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it's going to be below $10 million for next season.
Okay. So if they've done this interesting summer where you've got your center, you brought back Luke Kennard, you got off Zaire Williams' deal, like, really, those are all were, like, if you put your to-do list, you know, thin out the wings at the bottom of the roster and reduce your payroll, check. Not, you know, bring back Luke Kennard or a reasonable facsimile, check, and get a center, as you described, with high upside, check. All of doing that while remaining under the tax. How big a priority do you think the remaining under the tax was? And what is, there is significance to that beyond Robert Pera's checking account, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to make too much of that. This is where I'm going to land in the column that they publish at some point. It's clear that they care more about the tax than they have publicly let on. I think that is a very clear thing. I think they should be willing to pay tax.
Right.
It is unclear whether they actually are.
Right.
They say they are. They are not going to enter the season, I don't think, at that spot. But because of how they got there, them entering the season below that number does not definitively tell you that they won't cross it. It's one thing, because they're going to not cross it because the way they would cross it at this point would be to have a better 11th man or 12th man,
right?
You know, and so, but I think the thing, and there are restrictions when you get up there. I don't think that. I think it's more about
the money.
Not wanting to pay the money, and even more so wanting to get their share of the luxury tax. But one thing that will happen is if they go into the season under the tax line, they will have, because they won't have those restrictions. That means they have more ability to move, more ability to make moves in season. So they're going to go in under the tax with all their future first-round picks, their full mid-level exception still in play, and they will have the ability to pivot in season. And so I think the real play here is to say, we like what we have. Let's take it into the season. Let's see how it goes. But be willing to make the in-season move if the in-season move is there to be made, even if it takes you into the tax. Look at Dallas last season. That was a good team that got better with the in-season move.
So sometimes when a team doesn't pay the tax or whatever, you can, as a fan, be discouraged because it means they're cheap and evaluated and valued the finances more than winning, right? But given that they were, big picture here, given that they were able to do essentially everything that they needed to do, this is not some indictment. They've been able to get under the tax without... It shouldn't provoke any sort of rage on the part of their fan base. Like my beloved Buffalo Sabres bought out a player this year, saved a lot of money this year, have a lot of money on the cap, about $8 to $10 million a year under the cap. And the Sabres fans are just enraged. They haven't made the playoffs in forever, and they're not spending the money that they saved by. And it just, but there's no real. There's no real criticism that should go along with this decision, particularly as you say, given the flexibility to make further moves going forward. This in season.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking in the past tense about things that haven't happened yet.
Right.
Let's remember that. you know, to me, the alternate path, which was very easy to see,
yeah,
would have been, you know, we tried to trade up for Klingon. We couldn't do it. You know, it turns out like Jared Allen has not moved. Cleveland decided, you know, we're going to try the coaching change first. Apparently, the new front office in Detroit does like Jalen Duren. And so none of these, like, you know, more provocative or alluring paths were available to us. If they had said, you know what, Zach Edey's not good enough at 9, we can't move down, let's do what the mock draft say at the time, the mock draft said we were going to do, we're going to take Cody Williams at number 9. And then they said, so if they'd done that, and then they say, well, we still need a center, and the only way you can get one now is free agency, and the taxpayer mid-level is just not big enough because we got to get $7 million, not $5 million. So we're going to decline Luke Kennard to free up the full mid-level. Now we're going to sign Andre Drummond, journeyman backup center, to be our starter with $7 million. And now we have to let Kennard walk. And so, hey, Jalen Wells is going to step into the Kennard role. And, hey, guess what? We're under the tax. Here's new starting center Andre Drummond and new rotation guy Jalen Wells. That could have happened. And to me, that would have not been satisfactory. And so the point is not to pay the tax or not pay the tax. The point is to build a good team. And willingness to pay the tax is sort of a byproduct of that.
Is there an alternate path involving you just sketched out an alternate path that would have been paying the tax that would have not been inspiring at all?
Right.
Is there one that you could have conjured that they decided to forego that would have involved paying the tax?
Yeah, like following the Edey pick. So we make the Edey pick, and now we're moving forward, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, who knows what's out there on the trade front, but maybe it's, you know, you decline Luke Kennard to free up the mid-level, and maybe you decide you'd rather sign someone else at that mid-level instead of bring back Luke Kennard. But you look around, nobody got the full mid-level.
Right.
Like, D'Anthony Melton did for 1 year. And so, like, you know, you could have brought back D'Anthony Melton for the same money that the Warriors paid him and probably gone into the tax. But even if you like D'Anthony Melton more than Luke Kennard, like, it's got to be marginal, right? Like, there's not a big difference qualitatively there. And so, you know, you sign Derrick Jones Jr. in free agency for a little bit more. Maybe that takes you there. I think in the absence of some kind of trade, and we just can't know about trades that don't happen
to
whether they're available to you. So in the absence of a trade scenario, no. It's like, I mean, everyone just assumed that in order to fill the, assumed that to satisfactorily fill the center role and to bring back Luke Kennard would necessarily take you into the tax. But it didn't, and you don't. That's not something. I think as a fan, you should want the team to be willing to pay the tax,
right?
But you shouldn't want the team to seek it out.
Absolutely. All right, Gabe, I'm on with his show Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he set the over under. I thought it was a peculiar day to pick at when Kennard deal would get done at not this Saturday, but next Saturday. And so I said, I'll take the under. That'll happen. Well, I actually think it should be set at this Saturday because I don't see any reason why it's not done now. So do you have any guesses in terms of when they're going to get this thing done?
I assumed they would get it done before they left Vegas. And so now they've left Vegas, and now I got nothing. So I got no idea.
Let's see. Other news. I didn't talk to you about just revisiting the Zaire thing real quick. I don't blame them for whiffing on a pick. Like in that same draft, they hit on Vince Williams, right? And last year they hit on Gigi. Actually, their hits are kind of more impressive than their whiffs. But that was a whiff, right? And it was a whiff that a lot of people were mystified by that pick when they made it.
Yeah, but like people were, mystified by Santi Aldama and this thing, you know, what do we know, right? Like sometimes the picks work out, sometimes they don't. I mean, to me, that was not the most questionable pick in the moment that they made. I think that was David Roddy. I think David Roddy in the first round was more out of line of expectations than Zaire Williams at 10 or Santi Aldama at 30, actually. And that one has not worked out. And so to me, that's the most questionable pick in the moment that they made. They traded D'Anthony Melton to take David Roddy in the first round. At number 25, when most people had him going at like number 50 or something, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really
I think people pay less attention to that one, or I do, just because it's 25 as opposed to 10. You know, 10 is
But, I mean, I know you know this stuff, but you look around the draft. Everyone can point to like Trey Murphy at 17 or whatever, but like James Bouknight went like number 11 or something, and like he I think he's out of the league now.
Yeah.
And so that's just the way it works.
Exactly. We actually did that yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? We went through that draft. There's only, if you look at like who they could have or should have taken, should have, whatever.
Primo was in that draft.
Yeah. There was, it was a disaster after that. There was, like, you can make an argument that Moody or like there's some, but clearly Trey Murphy is the one at their pick. But I don't think it's fair to identify the one player who, when it's surrounded by miss after miss after miss, the one player that they should have taken. I think that's patently unfair.
Well, I mean, the reason the Murphy thing looms because he actually went
with their
pick. The pick that they traded,
yeah.
And he's a roughly similar kind of player.
Right. Yeah, but. But it's not like at the time people were pounding the table for Murphy.
No,
people were like, he was a great...
Not at all.
Yeah. So do you think... What are the chances that Zaire will... I don't think they're going to look back at it with regret getting moving off of him just because circumstances with their roster now, there's no opportunity for him to grow here. What do you think the chances are that he will become a credible NBA player going forward?
Oh, I mean, I think they're sub 50% at this point. So I don't know, 20%.
Right.
I mean, I think it's possible. I think there are tools there. There are good. He still has his good qualities. He has good attributes. He has not put them together into a consistently productive NBA player. I think the odds are against him, but there is a path for him. It's not like he has zero ability to be a good NBA player. He does have ability to be a good NBA player.
And then finally, this isn't necessarily what you focus on particularly, but TNT or whatever, the company that owns TNT, has matched the Amazon deal. And so I guess they're going to have a fight now. Jeffrey, what is going to happen? Now, are they going to have a fight? Because the NBA wants to still go with Amazon and not TNT? Or are they going to, there's some reporting that the NBA is going to reject their matching of the Amazon deal. Do you have any sense of what's going to happen?
So, John Orand, who now writes for Puck, his suspicion of what's going to happen is rather than take this thing to court and have this messy court thing, is that the NBA is going to write a check to Warner Brothers Discovery Turner, because in the end, the NBA wants to be in business with
Amazon.
And so you write a check to make it go away.
Do you care?
Well, there was the stuff about, you know, Amazon, you know, having some deal with Diamond. And so, you know, a lot of the regional stuff would also go be connected with Amazon in addition to whatever national stuff. And so it does sound to me like, you know, there's the desire to have a business or agent with Amazon that can do more than, you know, the twice a week TNT, like national games. And so I definitely can see the NBA trying to forge ahead and get something done with Amazon.
We still don't know.
I don't know that I care. It's also individual to individual people. Like, we have Amazon Prime because my wife, like, you know, women be shopping, that kind of thing. And so we have Amazon Prime anyway. And so that's kind of easy for me, I guess. I mean, I think a lot of people are fed up with the 17 different streaming services, and it's so complicated to figure out how to watch stuff.
Yeah, Olympics on Peacock, Chris. Olympics on Peacock.
Yeah.
Any day, any minute now. Everyone's fed up with that, I think. I don't really care. We don't have an answer to where we will be watching the Grizzlies this year yet, though, do we?
No, I don't. And that's something I should probably look into. I've been busy with other stuff,
right.
Trying to get out of town here in a couple weeks. But, as far as I know, we don't have anything definitive on that. The Grizzlies have not been a team, as I've written about, that has been eager to get out of their deal with Valley and to, like, forge ahead and do their own thing. That is not something the Grizzlies have been eager to pursue. And so whatever form, like, the Valley thing takes, assuming it is still a thing, I think that's where Grizzlies games will be.
Chris, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.